According to museum security, you were the last one to leave last night. Did you see or hear anything strange?
Well, I thought I heard something as I was leaving, but it could have been anything.
Sweeping teams of two. Nobody goes in alone. This place is not going to open until every room is clear. I'll go.
Come out, come out, wherever you are.
Any idea about a weapon?
Something big.
The board is hosting a gala preview here tomorrow night. It would be a disaster for us if we had to postpone.
We may have somebody on our hands who makes Jeffrey Dahmer look like a Cub Scout.
You have to let the gala go on. Something's wrong.
Mom, what's the matter with you?
Ladies, gentlemen, ghouls, goblins, whatever you are, welcome back to the B-Movie Podcast. I'm your host, Adam Kautzer. And today we are continuing on our October month of horror themed double features. Yes, we are the fucking cliche. We don't give a fuck. We love being able to talk at this time of year about horror films. If you follow the B-Movie Podcast, you probably already know this, but we don't really stretch out to horror because it's the one area with which we feel like the bases are covered. You've got some great quote-unquote podcast archaeologists out there that do this kind of stuff. So for us, this month is a lot of fun because we just get to kind of go in our style and kind of come in and cherry pick some really great options that maybe are not as well known. I mean, horror aficionados, horror geeks are going to know these things like the back of their hand. But I think that for people that are like more regulars on the B-Movie Podcast listeners, they may not know these things. So because we don't normally cover horror all that much during the normal calendar year. So this is always a treat for me to be able to get in there and really kind of talk about some really great horror films that I love. You're going to notice that we're going to have a lot more standing room only things, some stuff that's just recently been released in theaters, on Netflix, some really great stuff that we'll be talking about also. So that's all being said, this week our double feature is titled Monster Mash. We're looking at two monster movies. The first one you've already know because you could read the show notes. You downloaded this fucking thing. So we're looking at Peter Hames the Relic. And then our next episode is going to be about Monster House in 3D, and we'll get to that one later. But let's go ahead and just get right into the Relic. And so The Relic, released in 1997, starring a host of like B-movie regulars. You've got Penelope Ann Miller, Tom Sizemore, Linda Hunt. James Whitmore. You've got this nice kind of primed cast that faces up against a monster. Now, Hames is this kind of guy that I feel like, I mean, we've talked about him before on Time Cop, and there's with the film Time Cop, because we fucking love that movie. And we will be talking more Peter Hames films as the B-Movie Podcast goes on, because he's got a great like filmography filled with various different works. But it's really interesting to me to see that he made back-to-back horror films. He made The Relic, which is essentially a monster movie that relies really heavily on the aesthetic, the visual aesthetic and set pieces of a Ridley Scott's Alien. But then you also have, he jumps over in 2 years and makes End of Days with Arnold Schwarzenegger. Yes, fucking Quiet Boy. Fucking Arnold Schwarzenegger versus Satan, which if you don't think that we're not covering that fucking movie, you would be sadly mistaken. But that may not be until next October. Who knows? But Hames is this guy that, I mean, we've talked about him on Time Cop. He just has this visual aesthetic and this visual style that's great. He's his own cinematographer. And here he is playing with I'm not joking when I say that he really heavily, like he was heavily influenced by Alien, because there are shots in this film that he just literally rips off from Ridley Scott's Alien. But that's not to say that it's a bad thing. I mean, if you're going to rip off things, rip off from the best, right? And it's a lot of fun. The Relic is a lot of fun. It's this big, scary, you know, monster movie where he plays everything in a lot of, like, in shades of darkness. Like, this movie gives Seven a run for its money with how darkly lit it is. I mean, if you don't watch this on Blu-ray or a high-def streaming transfer, I don't know how good the experience is going to be. We'll talk about that later, but it's to say it is really, it's a seriously darkly shot film. But I think that works in its favor. Like, a lot of the, like, and if it's not dark, it's got like this heavy diffuse, like there's always something to diffuse the image, be it smoke or steam or even rain. I mean, or water, falling water, because at a certain point there's some water that falls, like sprinkler systems go off. But it helps the film, and it works in its favor because a lot of the effects work is early CGI, and but it's got some really great puppets. And the movie takes that Alien / Jaws dictum of not showing the creature until the third act, which, to be honest, it's a good thing, because some of the effects they're not good. I mean, let's just be honest. Like, there's a point where there's a fire effect that's CG, and we'll just talk about it right now. Like, the CG fire effect is horrible. It's on par with The Lawnmower Man, a movie that I really love, but his effects are super dated, even though they were at the time cutting edge. The Relic has the same problem with its fire effects. It literally fucking looks like Lawnmower Man, which was, like, you know, 5 years before. That's how bad those effects are. But a lot of the CG shots and the puppet work that's done by Stan Winston's effects group is legitimately looks good. But I think a lot of that has to do with the way that Peter Hames shoots this movie. It's, like I said, again, it's darkly lit. I mean, it's barely lit, if you really want to know the truth. It feels like there are moments where they're in, like, this, like, they're in white bathrooms, and it feels like it's dimly lit. So it just kind of gives you an idea of the visual aesthetic of the film. This film was actually adapted from a book by Douglas Preston and Lincoln Child. They're a novelist duo that have created this kind of, like, world, this kind of crazy Jurassic Park kind of, like, monsters, but in real life based in science universe that The Relic is the first book of that really kind of... It's my favorite kind, like, because I love this series, it's my favorite kind of series, the unexpected book series, where basically they wrote this book that's essentially, it's a Michael Crichton novel. I mean, that's literally what it is. And I mean, they do Michael Crichton just as well, if not a little bit more Michael Crichton than Michael Crichton ever did. These books are like tomes, but if you really like... if you like procedurals and you like that Crichton kind of deep dive into technology, you're going to love these things. Like, the main character isn't actually an FBI agent, but the funniest part about that is that he's a side character in The Relic and becomes, by the third book, he becomes the main character. Like, they veer away from the original characters, Margot Green and Lieutenant Diagosa, who are the relic's protagonist and its sequel. But it's fun because when you read that first book, it just there's no setup for a second one. It's a self-contained story, and it was only after it became super popular that they decided to make it into a series, and they kind of course corrected and veered and did some really weird and interesting things to get to the point to where it became a formulaic series. But getting to that formulary series is interesting. And I really wish that they had been able to do that with this film. Like, I wish it was a success, because it was not a success. Not in the least. I mean, it made a little bit of money and that was it. It's very much so like a spiritual cousin, a very unfunny version of Deep Rising, which we covered last year in a very similar kind of dual podcast. This one is like a lot more serious. It's a lot more, it's pretty bloody. It's bloodier than, it's gorier than this, than Deep Rising, but it's got that kind of same self-contained, like what I love about these types of movies and, monster movies is that a lot of times, oftentimes they will confine them into one space. I'm a big fan of one setting films or one setting stories. I mean, obviously, like, you know, if you guys have listened to this long enough, you probably have heard me talk about that at length, about how I love the challenges of putting somebody in like a literal box and seeing how they perform within that box. And essentially Peter Hames has that. I mean, it's a big box. It's a museum and everything that dictates within a museum, but it's still a contained area that he has to work in. And it's great because I love claustrophobic movies. I love when movies can kind of like, you know, get that tension going. And there's a movie that we're going to be talking about in a few weeks that's all about confined spaces. And literally the first time I saw it gave me a panic attack. And we'll talk about that more when we get to that that particular movie. But here it's not done as, you know, purposeful. It's just, it's a nice way to make things self-contained. And it's just a lot of fun. Like the through line that I feel that this and Monster House have is that each one of them in their way is a very standard monster movie. It goes by the tropes, the A, B, and C tropes, but they each respectively do them in a different way, where like The Relic does it in a very traditional way of A, B, C, D, all the way to the end. It's a very classic monster movie narrative. I mean, literally down to like, there is a moment where, where somebody goes chasing a dog. I mean, that's literally what, like, the cliches that are built into this. But there's that big fucking but, which is like Peter Hames commits to this in the same way that he always commits to the genre work that he's gotten, be it Time Cop, Outland, Running Scared, not the one with Paul Walker, but the one with Gregory Hines and Billy Crystal. These movies, like, he's given these things that are, they're very standard fare, but he commits to them and he makes them in such a way that once you're involved in them, they hold your attention until they're over with. I mean, like, that's what I love about The Relic is, like, you've got all of these, like, great actors that are in this movie and they completely commit to it. I mean, this movie is so much so kind of steeped in B-moviness that I'm pretty sure that someone that started developing this, someone had seen the Italian knockoff alien film Contamination, because this fucking movie, like, there are beats in this movie, there are the concepts of this movie that totally feel like Contamination. If you don't know Contamination, I will put in the show notes. I will put in the show notes my review of Contamination, which is also called Alien 2 in Italy. And just for your own reference, so that you can watch this eventually, because fucking hell, like, I was shocked at how similar these two fucking movies are, down to like the delivery system of how this, or like the delivery system for the alien slash virus that's involved in this film. I guess we should talk a little bit about the plot, which is basically a researcher, a museum researcher who's out in the field, is studying indigenous people in the Amazon. And he comes across something that is part virus, part monster. He realizes this. He tries to get them to take all of the stuff that's contaminated off of his off of a boat that's going to be shipping it to his museum that is supposed to be the Natural History Museum in New York. That's what the original movie was. But because they couldn't get permission, because the New York Natural History Museum felt uneasy about, I guess, an alien virus giant monster movie, giving it a fucking bad name, whatever. So Chicago, the Chicago Natural History Museum was more than happy to take this on. And essentially, the Natural History Museum in Chicago, that's where these packages are bound. And of course, they get over to the Natural History Museum and shit just starts happening. The reason why I mentioned that Italian knockoff sequel to Alien 2 or to Alien is because, my apologies, it's called Contamination, not Contaminant. But that film is ripping off Alien, but it's doing it in a low budget manner. The Relic is ripping off of Contamination, which was just shocking to me because I'd seen it last year. And like when I watched this movie, it just was like, holy fuck, they stole like the first third of this movie from Contamination. It's really interesting. When you watch it, just be warned, like you're going to look at it and go, and if you've seen Contamination, you're gonna like, holy fuck, this is weird. But those boxes get over to the Chicago Natural History Museum and Bedlam begins. And the mystery surrounding this monster, which they think, of course, the police think it's some kind of weird, pervy serial killer, doesn't get revealed until the final third act, where Penelope Ann Miller, James Whitmore, Tom Sizemore are forced to work together as this super team and get everybody out in a very during a very cliched moment where they do the Jaws thing, where they have this opening gala benefit thing for a new exhibit, and they don't want to close the museum down, the museum management doesn't want to close it down, although like the way that Amityville's mayor did not want to close the beaches down. And of course, that's like, you know, you roll your eyes, but I mean, you know, that's what you're waiting for. You're waiting for the bedlam to start occurring, and it does. And it's great. Tom Sizemore, of course, plays angry better than any angry, frustrated, like, police detective, military man, better than anybody else in this era. All you need to do is watch this film, True Romance and Natural Born Killers, and you've got a picture of how great he can be at angry super cop. And it's a lot of fun once it gets there. I mean, the buildup is fun because there's a lot of tense moments. There's a lot of little like cliched, like, you know, booze in the dark, as I like to call them. But it works. It really does work. I like the fact that the film doesn't end with, and this is not a spoiler, I hope it's not, I hope you guys don't fucking think it's a spoiler, but I love the fact that the film doesn't end with Penelope Ann Miller and Tom Sizemore's characters together. It's like, it doesn't end with the fucking cliched, like, kiss and let's go on a date. Der, 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 der. Fuck you. Like, this shit never, like, I hate that cliche in the movie. Like, the just because they're female and male and they're in this tight quarter situation, that of course they're going to start fucking or want to fuck, which is just completely ludicrous. But it's hard to say, and that's the one cliche that I'm glad that they avoid. It's a lot of fucking fun. Watch it with the lights out. Like I said, backtracking and talking about the transfer, don't have it, like, if you can watch it on Blu-ray, watch it on Blu-ray, but you're probably not going to be able to find it because it's out of print on Blu-ray and DVD. But it is on streaming services, Apple, Amazon. You can buy it or rent it, but I strongly suggest renting or buying the HD stream, because I watched it on my DVD or my Blu-ray, and the Blu-ray is nice. Like, it's not a great transfer, but it's got the right color correction where things look really like you can, it's visible. Where I remember when I had my DVD, the biggest problem was that it's so murky. So try to stay away from the DVD. Don't pay the exorbitant prices for it, because you'll be sadly disappointed in that DVD. But the Blu-ray is good. But I would not pay the prices that they're asking for it on the Amazon market. I'm sorry, just for a plain Jane Blu-ray, it's just not worth it. I mean, I would be different if it was like a Screen Factory. Hint, hint, I would love to see Screen Factory cover this one. Or hell, even like somebody like, like Arrow. God, that would be great. I mean, it would be fortuitous if Arrow got the Relic and was able to release it, because I find it fitting because Contamination was released by Arrow Video. But you can definitely get it on any of the major streaming services. Pop your popcorn, get your favorite drink, and just watch this fucking movie, because it's a lot of fun. And if you love monster movies, if you've never seen this one, give this one a shot. At worst, you're going to be laughing at it and yelling at it for whatever reason. So it's all a good time. Next time, we're going to be talking about Monster House, the Steven Spielberg, Robert Zemeckis produced CG film. And I'm really excited about this one, because I feel like a lot of people don't or haven't seen this film. And considering its pedigree, I think that more people would be inclined to watch it once they realize, like, the people that are involved with it. And especially around this year, with Stranger Things and It being in the lexicon right now, and like that whole emblem kind of that emblemness that everybody is kind of trying to get to, kids riding bikes in neighborhoods and weird, strange going ons. This is the forgotten emblem film, because it is produced by Emblem. This is the forgotten emblem film that I feel like is ripe for rediscovery. So we're going to be talking about that and how it veers away from the monster conventions in really brilliant ways. Whereas, like I said, The Relic is very ABC with its conventions, but it does it so fucking well. You can reach out to us on Twitter and Instagram. The handles are BMoviePod, the letter B, the word movie, the word pod. All together, no lines, no dashes, no bullshit. And I didn't fuck this one up this time. you can also read our work and the work of our colleagues on filmdispenser.com. Look out for some standing room onlys this week, because I'm going to be dropping, I might be dropping one or two. We've been watching horror movies at the house. And so I've been doing some quick 5 or 10 minute just thought processes, like, you know, randomness about these different films, and I just films that I'm never going to probably double feature up with anything, because they don't fit the norms of the B-Movie podcast. So just be on the lookout for that stuff, because we're just producing a shit ton of content for you guys this month. We really want to kind of help you, like, give you guys the full effect of, October and Halloween. So with that, guys, grab whatever pumpkin spice shit that you like, and go ahead and bring up the Relic and watch that shit, because it's a lot of fun. So until next time, where we'll be talking about Monster House, talk to you soon.